Good morning, y'all. How y'all doing today? We have had a blast today. This week has been, thank you, Shirley, and everybody has worked so hard for Vacation Bible School. I missed the first 2 days, but I had a blast the last 3 days I was able to come. Just the enthusiasm, the kids, and this, a couple of these songs are in my head, and I can't wait to sing with you a little bit later. That Jesus provide. I need that verse. So God's used that all this week with some critical things going on in my life. So thank you, children, for preaching the word to this old pastor here. But it's been a lot of fun with the Roundup for Jesus. It reminds me back in the day, long, long time ago, when I just started as a pastor, and I lived on a farm owned by the elder of the church. And I'm a city slicker, but I always liked tractors and kind of stuff, so I thought this would be fun. So I'd drive the tractor, broke the auger, grain auger, oversprayed some rows and didn't spray other rows. So I had a couple incidents, not knowing what I was doing, but had a lot of fun. And then one day, they decided to bring the elder's son's cattle over to our place, the calves, and they're going to use the corral behind our house, which made it kind of a smelly venture, if you know what I mean. But it was quite interesting, and I said, I'll help when they want to do a roundup for the calves. I thought, this will be fun. I'll count me in. I went out there, and it was fun until one of the calves did one of this to me. That hurts. I still remember the pain of that. That really hurts. Those hoofs, even those little calves, that was so much for my roundup. That was the end of my roundup days. But it can be a challenge to round up, whether it be cats or calves or cattle or maybe even people. Moses had his difficulties. And you've been learning about that in Vacation Bible School. The challenges this man, a meek, humble man, had when he was called by God to lead the children of Israel out of slavery, out of bondage, out of Egypt, to the promised land, and all the trials through the desert. You know what it's like in a desert, right? And Moses trying to lead these people, and yet Moses didn't quite make it to the promised land, although he made it to the promised land in heaven, and then Joshua let him in. So Moses had his challenges. And today, we're going to talk about John the Baptist with the theme, dealing with life and dealing with death. I thought, now, this text, my Bible's marked up. All my Bibles, Rob and I, we talked about that. All my Bibles are marked up in the New Testament, just about every page, except for this one. I've never preached on this text. I've never taught Bible class on this text. I've always been given the assignment of John the Baptist in Isaiah. Who got John the Baptist? I got it. And the Gospel of John. Who got John the Baptist? I got that one. Gospel of Mark. Who got John the Baptist? I got that one too. So here we go, John the Baptist again. But this section I've never preached on. And all it is history. Okay, we got all these kids here. And I'm going to talk about the heading of a prophet for the kids roundup. How's that going to work? And what teaching is there? Well, as I studied it, I got a lot out of it, and I'm so glad I got this text, Pastor, so thank you. But even Spurgeon didn't want to preach on this text. He just took one verse. I go, thank you. But the often-quoted Spurgeon had little to say about this. So I found two pastors from the state of Ohio, one from an inner-city church in Cleveland, another one in a rural church in Rogers, Ohio, which has about 297 members of the church and about 2,000 members of the community, that gave me some ideas. So here we go. So you've heard the story out of the message. The reason I asked the message to be used is that usually it is a paraphrase, but this time it's actually more in line with the Greek than the NIV. Here's the story real quick. I lost the guys in jail when I went on and on with the story, so I'm going to try to make it pretty quick, but here's the deal, right? John the Baptist was quite a man of God. We'll talk about it a little later, but King Herod was a man that loved to hear good preaching, and especially from John the Baptist. He loved to hear him preach. He loved to hear him teach. There's one problem. It didn't change his life. He didn't accept Jesus, didn't accept the Word of God, but he loved it. He was puzzled. He was intrigued by the power of God, and he saw it in John the Baptist's life. So he had a sense of awe, a sense of reverence for John the Baptist, and protected him. And so some issues King Herod did, kind of off-kilter and a real power-hungry guy. But anyway, King Herod heard about Jesus. after what happened to John the Baptist. After John the Baptist died, he heard about Jesus. And this shows the mixed up superstition and weird faith of Herod, not really faith, but ideas of theology and philosophy. He thought that John the Baptist rose from the dead and he was doing all these miracles. There was some controversy over the head of John the Baptist, where it ended up. Some historians say that some Christians took the head. So when the head was missing, perhaps King Herod said, uh-oh, John the Baptist is on the prowl again. He's still out ministering. He's still doing healings, performing healings and miraculous signs. That was not the case. It was Jesus doing it. But King Herod thought that. So King Herod is really mixed up. He's superstitious. He's thinking, oh, no. And others said, no, no, no. That man out there, that's not John the Baptist. That's Elijah. Not Elijah. Others said, oh, it's some prophet. And still today, people have all kinds of weird ideas who Jesus Christ really is. We know who he is. God and man together, our beautiful, blessed Savior, not just our example, but our substitute who came and died for us that we might have eternal life, right? That's who Jesus is. That's what we come here, right? We come to worship a living Lord, not some teacher who died. And we praise God when we worship. We talk, Sarah and I talked about that, that when we really understand who Jesus is and God opens our eyes up, everything changes with our worship. Everything changes. So, Herod didn't get it. Herod was this close, hearing the word of God, didn't work out. So anyway, what happened was, let's go back to the beginning of the story here. Okay, imagine this. You're all excited because you're going to have a baby, but you're quite old. You've tried for years, a couple, husband and wife, and you're the high priest of the church, and you don't have kids, and it's thought to be a curse if you don't have kids in those days, that something wrong in your faith. And so they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. Now imagine this birth announcement. For the first time, the father knows they're having a baby before the mom does. Because an angel comes to Zechariah while he's serving in the high priest and says, Zechariah, your prayer's been answered. You're going to have a baby. Elizabeth's going to have a baby. The one who is barren is going to have a baby for God. Nothing's impossible to God. With God, nothing is impossible. So the father gets the announcement before the pregnancy test or anything. He knows first. What does he do? He doubts. He doesn't believe it. So what happens? He can't talk for 9 months. Now, for preachers not to talk for 9 months, that's a difficult situation, I tell you that. That's really hard. He can't talk till the baby is going to be born. Oh, that had to be hard. So 9 months from now, imagine, Pastor Rick, you can't talk for 9 months. Amen. I knew that was going to be. Anyway, Zechariah was, he didn't talk until the day the baby was born. And then they all said, well, obviously he's going to nickname him, or name him Zechariah Jr., so it'll be Zach Jr. This is Zechariah, Zach Jr. And so Elizabeth said, no, that's not his name. The name's going to be John. And then when they had, 8 days later, circumcision and the ceremony, all of a sudden Zechariah could talk. And the first words out of his lips, after being quiet for 9 months, was praise to God for his baby. Waiting that long for this precious baby. We know what it's like, the joy of being a dad, and especially a senior citizen as a dad, waiting all that time, like Abraham. He praises God. Now imagine this. Here's what was expected of John the Baptist. He had great expectations. Daddy did. We all do with our kids, right? Our kids different. Our grandkids different, right? And they have a lot, especially the firstborn, many times has a lot to live up to because we put all our hopes in that firstborn, man. Oh, boy. You're going to do it. On the Little League field, you're going to hit the home run. I couldn't hit it, but you're going to do it. You're going to be the winner. You're going to stay clean. You're going to be sober. You're going to be all my hopes that I didn't fulfill, I'm going to put on you. How's that for pressure for the firstborn? Well, here's even more pressure because an angel told Zechariah what this baby was going to be like. Now imagine this. An angel says that your baby is going to be a joy and delight to you, and many people will rejoice at his birth. He will be called not good, not a good pastor, not a good priest, but great, and not in the sight of people, in the sight of the Lord. And he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, not later on in life, not in confirmation, not in a retreat he went to, or even when he's born, before his birth, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. From before birth, throughout his whole life, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a lot to live up to, right? Not only that, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of power and the power of Elijah. Oh, let's just name the greatest prophet, the most powerful prophet. Say, oh, you're going to be like Elijah, John the Baptist. How's that a plot to live up to? Oh, my. And not only that, you, little boy, are going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Family life wasn't so great then like it is not today. Dysfunctional, broken, messed up. Baby boy, guess what? You're going to turn all the dads, those deadbeat, neglectful dads, back to their children. You're going to do that. What? And you're going to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and you're going to make people ready for a way of the Lord. That's what's going to happen. So you have the high priest, right? His kid. Can you just imagine if that happened today? Go to the seminary for placement. I know that you'll do good for my son, won't you? He's called great. And God, he had an angel this week. You know, an angel come and told me about how great he's going to be. So can you give him the nice church in the suburbs with the high salary and the car allowance and the little expense accounts? And, oh, yeah, the vacation, 4 weeks of vacation in the Bahamas. Oh, this is my boy, and I'm the high priest, just in case you don't. Remember the offerings I gave you, the little offering there, donation to your seminary there? Just remember that, Zachariah, I'll take care of you. But that's the way the world would think, even in the church, right? If someone's going to be this great that was prophesied about, they must have this huge, beautiful temple, beautiful synagogue, and be the man in town. What happened to John the Baptist's ministry? Where does he start? Does he have a church building? Is he in the suburbs? Is he even in the city? Where is he? Out in the desert. He doesn't have a church. How about... let's see, what about the wardrobe? Does it get clergy allowance for clothes and robes and everything else? Mm-mm, camel hair. Oh, that makes me itch just to think about that, right? And how about his diet? Did he have a special chef that came in for a celebrity pastor? Oh, yeah, locusts and wild honey. Crunch, crunch with a little sweetness there. Honey makes it all better, right? So that's where he started his ministry. But what happened? God's word was fulfilled, but in a different way. The point of all this is that dealing with life, with your life may be different than you thought it'd be. And maybe for your kids and grandkids. You had it all mapped out. I had my life mapped out. I sure didn't think I'd be going to jails. I sure didn't think I'd be doing a jail service or a jail service in Spanish, let alone coming here and doing a jail Spanish service. Who knows? But God's ways are not our ways, right? With Bruce, what happened to you? Who knew that you could go so high spiritually by falling down on a ladder that you would raise up the Jacob's ladder and know Jesus Christ? Who would have thought that? And God's worked in all of our lives in amazing ways if we let him have his way, right? So that's what happened to John the Baptist. He had this great ministry, and guess what? Did he have a PR committee, an outreach committee, and say, okay, now, John, you've got to change your wardrobe here, a little PR. That leather belt's kind of weird. It's out of date. We've got to change that leather belt. You've got to change your message because it's kind of like hard. All you do is preach the law of these people. You talk about repent, repent, repent. It's kind of getting old. You say the same thing every week. But what happened? Did people come? If you preach it, they will come. And they came in droves to hear this bold, fearless, brave, powerful preacher of God's word just thunder it. It didn't matter if you're a general in the army. Repent! Person come in with the Sadducees and Pharisees. You brood of vipers. Who told you the wrath that was going to come to you? Repent! Everybody heard the same thing from John the Baptist. Repent. Get ready. He is coming. God is coming. Jesus, your Savior, the one you've waited for centuries for, he's about to be here. And I'm calling you to get ready. Prepare. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare. All the preparation for VBS. Oh my goodness. I'm glad I didn't have to run that. It would have been a disaster. All the preparation. But imagine all the preparation for the Messiah to come. All the prophets that came before John the Baptist. And here's the last prophet on the scene out in the desert preaching, prepare the way of the Lord. He's got a great ministry. It's different. I remember one of my grouping friends tell me when I didn't have a church between churches, that he said, now let's see, Perry, you're moaning and groaning because you didn't have a call. Let's see. Did Jesus have a church? Did Paul just have one church he's assigned to? Oh, no, I guess not. They went all over. And wherever they went, they spread the kingdom of God. It's about the kingdom of God. And I realized, oh, it could be a blessing then. Not to find one church, go everywhere and be apostolic and sent out wherever we go. And that was quite a revelation to change something that was awful in my life to something very positive. And so John the Baptist had people coming to him in the desert and this great ministry until John did it. He offended the palace. He offended King Herod. He got political and he confronted King Herod with his lifestyle, namely of living with his brother's wife. John the Baptist, being the prophet of man of God, said, you can't do that. That's not lawful. That is not lawful. And Herodias, King Herod's new wife, had sort of a bad heart, had a heart problem. Not heart surgery, anything like that. She was bitter. She did not like any preacher meddling in her life. That's not preaching, that's meddling. When it comes to your life, and then someone calls you out, that's not fun, is it, right? Uh-oh. She nursed a grudge, and that grudge got bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know what happens when we keep a grudge in? It starts fuming, and more, and builds up. I'm going to kill him. He's going to die. And so she kept putting it into Herod's head to get rid of it. But remember, King Herod was afraid of John the Baptist, respected him, loved to hear him preach. He was afraid, who knows what happened if he killed John the Baptist. So he didn't want to do anything. He had nothing to do with it. So here comes his birthday party. For the bigwigs, all the military advisors, the top people, the top of society are invited. Only them are invited to this big bash with plenty you-know-what going on. And Herod, he's a wild character and very strange. And what happens when we start drinking too much? Do we make good decisions? Nope. Right, Robert? Nope. Doesn't usually happen. And so the wine is flowing very freely in this wild party, and it's getting wilder and wilder, and King Herod just kind of like, he's out of it, totally out of it. And next, guess what? Now he turns it into an R-rated party, at least R-rated, because he has his niece, his stepdaughter, doing erotic dance for everybody. And Herodias kind of was a part of that. So here's his stepdaughter dancing, getting him all excited, and everybody else. And so Herod is so just, he's just in a whole other world, living up life, and just plastered and all excited and everything else. He goes, I'll give you whatever you want. Just tell me. In his drunken stupor. Boy, did he regret that. Here's this bitter woman off the side. I've been waiting for this time. Well, King Herod, I do have a request. And she sent it through the daughter. Here comes the little stepdaughter just done this provocative dance. And oh no. No, we can't. And King Herod all of a sudden sobered up real quick. Because he heard what the request was. He couldn't believe it. He thought, what am I going to do? You know what the request was, right? An awful thing that we haven't heard in the newspapers till recently in our country and in our world. Someone being beheaded. And the request was, give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Well, that'll change the atmosphere of a party real quick, to say the least, right? I'm sure Herod goes, did I hear that? Well, once the girl hurried in to the king with a request, I want you to give me right now, the head of John the Baptist on a platter, right now. And the king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he didn't want to refuse her. Well, oh heavens no, we got somebody murdered, we can murder this preacher, that's okay, but we can't upset our dinner guests, can we now? So in order to save face and not lose his pride, he had to agree to the request he had just given. So how do you think John the Baptist handled this? We know how he handled life. He was obedient to God. He was courageous. He was full of self-denial and self-discipline. Powerful man of God, honored by people, honored by God. Didn't perform one miracle, by the way, but was a very faithful man of God. Total integrity. And he knew his place in life, because when Jesus came to get baptized, what did John the Baptist go? Oh, here's competition. We got another preacher here. He saw Jesus coming. He says, oh, time for me to exit stage left. And so John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. How many human beings are willing to do that? So John the Baptist gets off the side, out of the River Jordan, and says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he led his disciples and encouraged them to go follow Jesus. He says, I'm done now, guys. this part of my ministry, he's the focus, not me. I'm number two. He's number one. And so the focus is on Jesus. That takes a lot of humility, right? And John the Baptist knew how to deal with life. In that regard, to focus only on Jesus, trust God for his life and with his death. Because as John the Baptist was in jail for a long time before this happened, he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask them, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for somebody else? And Jesus said, you go tell John what you've seen and heard. The dead are raised, blind see, people are healed, and blessed is he who does not take offense in me. And John the Baptist, spending all that time in jail, was willing to wait. And in a sense, his prayer was answered to get out of that jail. He got out of jail all right. But in a different way, angels took him to heaven. So John the Baptist was able to deal with life, but also deal with death, because it's all putting everything in God's hands. Our life, our death. And Pastor, I didn't warn you this, but I wanted you to tell everybody what you told me about what's been happening in your congregation with people going to surgery and the peace that they all are having and they're telling you about. I'll get you back on that one.
You know, in the congregation, surgeries kind of go like this and this. We have different periods. And recently, we've had a bunch of people either going into surgery or coming out of surgery or planning on going into surgery this week. There's two people going into surgery this week. And what's a wonderful good news for me is I've visited these people before they go into surgery. And actually, Hazel, it happened with you too when you went into surgery last year. And they're so at peace. And they're so at peace that the doctors and nurses are amazed. Right, Jody? And they're saying, why are you so calm? All right? And the bottom line is, all these people, they're not afraid of death. You guys aren't afraid of death. What a wonderful thing. Amen? Okay? And that's why we preach, right, Pastor? Because you have that, Robert, what do we call it? Blessed assurance. That's right. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor.
One other thing. If I didn't have to talk for a month, I could probably live with it. This guy would have a real problem.
Amen. Okay. Anyway, I just want to wrap up here real quick. What did Jesus have to say about John the Baptist? Well, he said this. He said, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there is not arisen one greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Interesting. So he's the greatest prophet ever. No one born of a woman is greater than John the Baptist, yet anyone who goes into heaven is greater than he. What in the world is that talking about? Well, what was John the Baptist's role? He was the prophet, the bold, audacious, brave prophet like we have here, right? And like Luther was. Luther was a prophet. He had his peacemaker, his assistant Melanchthon. And like Pastor Rick and I, he's the prophet. I'm sort of the peacemaker. We're different temperaments, totally different temperaments. We get on the same page theologically with a mission, the kingdom of God, but we minister in different ways. And the prophet is bold. And it just, it burns in their body and their spirit that they have to tell the truth of God. And they want to bring everybody out of hell into heaven. And regardless of the consequences, they go full force into the gate and against the gates of hell with that prophetic word, thus saith the Lord. And so it's very important. That's what John the Baptist's role was, to get people ready so their hearts were softened up, so they need a Savior, and they know they need a Savior. And that's what the law of God does. It breaks, it's the rotor tiller of God, it breaks open our heart, say, I'm a mess. I need a Savior. My life has become unmanageable. I can't do this alone. I need a higher power, and that higher power is one person, and it's Jesus Christ. I need help. I've fallen, and I can't get up. I can't get up. And only He can raise me up. Jesus Christ raises us all up. He does. And those of you who are nodding your heads and not falling asleep know what I'm talking about, because you've experienced it. And when we experience it, it changes worship. It changes everything's different in our lives. because of Jesus Christ. Because he conquered life and he conquered death. And one of those songs, it talks about, it talks about Jesus being stronger than anyone else, that he can conquer everything. Yes, we'll have trouble on that dusty road out there in the West, but Jesus Christ walks with us, he rides with us, and he wants to round up other kids and other adults into the kingdom of God. So you have a purpose to bring others in so that next year we have even more kids at VBS, more adults filling in these chairs. Our role here in life is to reach others for Jesus. And our role in death is go to heaven. We have Jesus. It's a win-win thing that our members are realizing. So may the law hit us hard. We all need a good slap in the face to realize we need a Savior. And let the sweetness of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ tell you your sins are forgiven. You have hope, you have life, you have peace, you have eternal life. And you can sing like these kids, and we can round up others to the kingdom of God.